that speech was like 3 pages long.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking that as an actor. I was like, wow, that's a long, that's, yeah.
Oh, well, listen, I saw that and I was like, oh, crap. You know what I did? You know what I did? I booked time in one of those hyperbaric chambers where it's pure oxygen. I'm not kidding you. And I went in there like 8 times with my script. And I had it like on cards. And I memorized it because you're getting pure oxygen. So your brain is firing on all cylinders when you're in that hyperbaric chamber. And I just went in there and like worked on it and worked on it, worked on it. And even though in the script, it's broken up because the stage directions are cutting to different scenes, as so it becomes almost like a voiceover.
Right.
But I knew they were going to shoot it in one. Like they were just going to say, just take it from the top and go all the way through. We're not going to stop. And I knew they were going to do that just because as an actor, you know, you prepare yourself for the worst. And I just thought, oh my gosh, and you're standing there in this room and all those actors are sitting there staring at you.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. That is Emmy award-winning actress Patricia Heaton. She's back on the show. She's in a new movie called Mending the Line, and she's telling us how she memorized a 3-page long speech that she has to give in the movie. And thought that was pretty cool. I act myself, and I've never used that technique of a hyperbaric chamber. I've sat in the shower and cried before a scene just out of fear, but I don't think that's the same thing. Anyway, it's a great conversation with her about this movie, and it's really, she's really fun, and I just really love talking to her. I think you're going to like it a lot. And before we get to that, I heard an older person say something that freaked me out. Person's pretty old, and he was standing, and someone offered him his chair, and he goes, no, these days, I like to be able to stand. And I thought, wow, that's friggin' old. Like, I hope I'm not at that point where my whole day is focused on standing. Oh, it's Monday. I hope I can stand. Tuesday, tomorrow, I plan to move 3 of my fingers. Woohoo, I'm old. I don't know. Just kind of freaked me out. But the guy did stand and survived, didn't die. So good, happy ending. All right. Enjoy Patricia Heaton. Hope you guys are enjoying the podcast. Please leave some nice reviews on Apple Podcasts if you don't mind. And here you go. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. My guest, returning guest, I'm very excited to have her on again. Emmy award-winning actress. You know her from Everybody Loves Raymond, The Middle, Carol's Second Act, which, by the way, I love that show. Is playing Dr. Burke in a new film called Mending the Lines with Brian Cox and Cinquan Walls. That is coming out this Friday. It's a terrific film, and happy to have on Patricia Heaton again. Great to have you back on the show.
Thanks for having me. Nice to be back.
Well, I mean, you couldn't stop calling me like, can I come back on? Can I come back on? I'm like, okay, listen. I'm like, Patricia, you got to have a film. You got to have something. I can't. No. I loved having you and your husband on, and it was so great to see you. So I saw the film, and just to give people a little synopsis, you play a doctor at a VA hospital who is dealing with war veterans that have PTSD. But explain a little bit more the interaction between the two main characters.
So Mending the Line is a fly fishing term. And the movie is set in Bozeman. We shot in Bozeman. And Brian Cox is a veteran at the VA hospital. Cinquan Walls is recently come to the hospital. And after a lot of false starts, they develop this relationship over fly fishing. And it helps Cinquan's character to deal with his trauma from being in the military. And I think it's such a great, hopeful movie. I think we're seeing a lot of talk finally about mental health, especially since the pandemic. And this is just a great way into that topic. I do a lot of support for the Gary Sinise Foundation. Gary's been a real supporter of the military, builds many homes for wounded vets, and deals with the mental health of veterans a lot. And so I've been very familiar with this. I also, you know, had a long conversation with a VA doctor about, you know, what they're dealing with. So I think, you know, what I love about Hollywood and what I love about what we do is we're able to take these topics and turn them into stories so that the message gets through to people in a really, you know, profound, and I hate to use the word entertaining when talking about a subject like that, but it is a way, a more personal way for people to understand the issues. So it's just wonderful. Of course, Cinquel Walls is amazing. And Brian Cox, you know, the minute I heard he was in the movie, I just thought, oh, it would be lovely to be a part of this. So it was a great experience, and it would be a great experience for the audience.
Yeah, there's a lot to the movie. You mentioned the talking to a VA doctor. You're so good in this role, because I don't see Patricia Heaton the person. I don't see Emmy award-winning actress from the other roles. You just came off like a doctor. I love your characters, like a little bit of tough love. You do everything with a smile on your face, almost like the way you say to the child, you're going to eat your vegetables, right? Like, it's like, because, yes. But what the words that came to mind were trauma, grief, but healing. And what really came across, yes, is how the part of this story focuses on how a person needs to accept the fact that they need to heal. And then they have to be willing to fight to want to heal. And in Cinquan's character, it's right at the surface, because he just gets back from war. But that also lack of acceptance of needing to heal comes through in Brian's character, who's kind of seems like he's buried it, yes, for years since being in the Vietnam War.
Well, I think, you know, America has been built a lot on people who are self-starters, self-made, you know, hardworking. There's a kind of energy and an independence that, you know, America is known for, which is wonderful. But the downside of that is having to admit that you need help, having to admit that you're vulnerable, having to admit that an experience has traumatized you. And, you know, as a mom, one of my goals for my boys was to make sure that they saw going to a therapist as the same thing as going to a dentist or going to their pediatrician, that when you have certain health issues, whether it's physical or mental, you go and see a professional about it who can help you heal. And, you know, so now all of us are in therapy. but because that's just part of taking care of yourself. And, you know, my mom died suddenly when I was 12, and this is in the 70s in Cleveland, Ohio. So there was no therapy for us. And it took a long time to work through those things, you know, and it would have been very helpful to have a safe space to land where I could talk to somebody who could help me manage those feelings and direct my energy toward healing. So I think that this movie is important in that since the pandemic, you know, the talking about mental health has come to the forefront finally. And I think if we can remove that stigma for people about getting the care that they need, and also getting insurance companies to, you know, cover that, it's just as important. It's not some kind of fake thing. Just because you can't see a cut or a wound, it doesn't mean that they're not there.
Yeah, and it also, by the way, it's beautifully shot. And I thought that was Bozeman. My wife and I were just in Bozeman a couple of months ago, and
isn't it amazing?
Oh my God! You go like, hey, maybe we could live here, and you know, we live in New York now, yeah. It's like, right? And you go like,
oh gosh!
Wow, there's an Italian restaurant. There's a bar. There's another bar with a. Did you go in? There's a bar that has like the skeletons of an actual dead body, like up in the ceiling. Like
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah.
No. Well, we had been going to Montana for years.
I was going to say, I take my wife to all the classy places, but yeah, I mean, yeah. but you've been going for years, right? So you you obviously knew the place. It was our first time, but it's an amazing place.
It's amazing. And fly fishing, which the movie is centered around, that's the title, Mending the Line, is a fly fishing term, is such a salubrious activity. It's, you have to be quiet, you have to focus, you have to have a lot of patience. It's pretty wonderful. And to have a movie that is in Bozeman, it's about fly fishing, it's got Brian Cox in it, I was like, oh, this is why you stick it out in Hollywood. So just for those once in a lifetime opportunities like this. Right.
So how does talk about the healing benefits of fly fishing? Because my father-in-law was a big fly fisherman, and I've actually just started to do it. And Brian Cox's character at one point says to Sun Quan's character, the most important part of fly fishing is humility. It's got a lot of therapeutic qualities. And talk about, from the perspective of these vets dealing with PTSD, how it helps them.
Well, I think partially you're forced to calm your mind and to clear everything else out. And I found that generally speaking, any activity that requires extended focus, for instance, I took piano lessons years and years ago as an adult though. And it was a spectacular failure, but to sit at a piano for an hour and just solely focus on like the three notes that you're trying to get correctly you come out of it as if you've just been meditating. It's meditative. That's what fly fishing is. It's very meditative. You're quiet. You're still. You're looking into the water. And I've done fly fishing a number of times, and I'm really bad at it. I can't see those other guys. Like, we would get a guide to take us in. They spot these fish everywhere. I can't see them. I don't know how they can. But you're just staring at the water and the sound of the water of rushing over the stones and things like that. All of those contribute to like being in a meditative state, and it changes you physically. It does something to you. And I think that's beautiful about this movie is it tells this wonderful story with fly fishing at its center. And then this wonderful relationship between Brian and Cinqua. It's just, it's a beautiful movie, and it's a nice change of pace from a comic book movie or, outrageous comedy. It's just, we're not getting as many of these kinds of movies as I would like to see. So I'm glad that it's coming out on Friday, and I'm glad I was able to be a part of it.
Yeah. Just a real quick little fisherman's tip. What you want to do in your fly fishing is you have a big net. And then when your people you're with aren't looking, you just throw the net in, you grab a couple of fish, and then you pretend like you caught it on your fishing line. And And the second thing is, if we do this again, try not to use big words like salubrious, because I'm not very smart. And I just spent the last 3 minutes looking that word up. I'm not going to lie to you. No, I'm just kidding. One last thing before we go. It's the commonality of experiences between the characters, the relatable relationships. In other words, their relatable experiences are almost necessary in order for the relationships to exist. Like Coulter, Lucy and Coulter. Coulter is Saquon's character. She's been damaged and hurt and is trying to heal. Ike Fletcher, Brian Cox's character, Coulter damaged, trying to heal. And you say, as your character in the movie, so the social, and when you're giving the speech to the group, the social aspect of your rehab is just as important as the physical. And then you go on to say, it's a time of great uncertainty, and our job is to prepare you for the path you take. That really came through, because in the beginning, I'm like, okay, well, why are all these people why are we focusing on their problems? And you start to see how they all come together and they kind of have to help each other. Is that the case?
Yes. And that's great that you had that whole speech. I can't tell you, that speech was like 3 pages long.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking that as an actor. I was like, wow, that's a long,
Oh, well, listen, I saw that and I was like, oh, crap. You know what I did? You know what I did? I booked time in one of those hyperbaric chambers where it's pure oxygen. I'm not kidding you. And I went in there like 8 times with my script. And I had it like on cards. And I memorized it because you're getting pure oxygen. So your brain is firing on all cylinders when you're in that hyperbaric chamber. And I just went in there and like worked on it and worked on it, worked on it. And even though in the script, it's broken up because the stage directions are cutting to different scenes. So it becomes almost like a voiceover.
Right.
But I knew they were going to shoot it in one. Like they were just going to say, just take from the top and go all the way through. We're not going to stop. And I knew they were going to do that just because as an actor, you know, you prepare yourself for the worst. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, oh my gosh. And you're standing there in this room and all those actors are sitting there staring at you, all the extras. And it's a low budget movie on a real tight schedule. So you don't want to be the guy that comes in for a couple of days and then totally screws it up so that they have to like reschedule scenes because you couldn't get your scene right.
Right.
You know, sweating. And I bloody nailed it on the first take.
Oh, that's amazing. Yes. Really? Wow.
Thank goodness for years of like having to say speeches on the middle, you know, and Raymond.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to be that jerk of an actor who holds everything up.
No, you were great. That's amazing. You didn't want, I was thinking the exact same thing. I was watching that and saying, that is a long, that's pages. And then it's like, well, it's good you did the hyperbaric chamber, not a Marlon Brando, and started like posting your lines on the foreheads of the actors. That's probably a better way to go. Hey, it's wonderful to have you on again. Let's do this again sometime and just chat.
Yes.
That would
be great. Let's talk. We'll come back on and talk about the strike and,
I work. I don't know if you remember, I work on the Late Show with Colbert. So we're dark and all that. And we just, the SAG-AFTRA just got the authorization to strike. So hopefully that'll give him some power. The movie is Mending the Line. It is in theaters this Friday. And it's the lovely Patricia Heaton, who is a terrible piano player. It's great to have you on.
Thanks for having me back.
All right. That's Patricia Heaton. Really like having her on. Hope you enjoyed it. And please keep checking out the podcast. And Permission to Speak tour, my off-Broadway show, is going to be coming out in the fall. So check out my social media. And we've been posting clips of that. And we hope you guys are enjoying the podcast and have a great week. We'll see you next week, everybody.